This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Love the Monday Night Football theme. Did you see the TikTok dance that went viral? I can't think of the guy's name. He was like a child star. He was in a lot of movies. May have been in The Sandlot. And some buddies. It's like the freckly kid with the curly hair. Maybe the kid that plays catcher.
Oh, the Great Bambino. Or the Great Hambino,
I should say. I think it's him. If it's not him, it looks
Hamilton
like him.
Hamilton Porter, yeah.
It looks like him grown up. Him and two of his friends in jerseys did basically like TikTok dances to all the different football themes. Like the CBS Sports, and it's hilarious, and they, including the Monday Night Football. So now every time I hear one of the themes in the past couple weeks, I'm picturing them doing the dances to them. So they were hilarious. And now I believe this is how TikTok works, right? I want other people to – in fact, you're on TikTok. You're out there making your – I see you making your, like, NC State disgruntled fan or exasperated fan, if you will.
Yeah.
This is right up your alley. Get with your boys on the OG. This is seriously.
Okay.
TikTok gold. Go find this video. Put on some football jerseys. You, Jillian Ovius, do your version of it.
Okay.
And then just like them dancing, like, they're not great, right? Like, you could see they're coordinated enough.
Are they?
But them not being good at it is part of the charm. Okay. And I feel like you guys can go for that same sort of lane there.
Yeah, we can nail that.
Like, we don't have to be perfect dancers. We'd be good enough, and then it's funny that we're dancing. It's football. There you go. Just throwing out ideas.
I'm just going to claim I'm the best dancer of all three of us.
Interesting.
I'm just going to go ahead and claim that.
Wow. Now, by elimination, I'll probably give you that.
Exactly.
I'll probably give you that. Ovius would be no contest. I've never seen him dance or not dance. Putting it out there, saying he can't dance. Jillio probably sneaky thinks he can dance better than he can. Maybe enough to be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's been on a dance floor, but I'm not sure if what he was doing could be called dancing. This is all 100% speculation. You, I could see, again, if all you got to do is clear the bar that they're setting, I'm going to give that to you.
Exactly. It's a very low bar.
All right.
It's a very low bar. And I've been in like small theater production before.
Did you dance?
And yeah, I did for a moment.
All right, now I want to see Dennis Cox dance. What would you dance to? Would you like?
I forget the name of the song that we did. I'm not gonna lie. But it was the show was Tony and Tina's Wedding.
Okay.
So like the
like partner dancing, like ballroom dancing with a partner?
No, it was a choreographed dance, like the it was a the bridal party, we all did a dance as part of the show.
Gotcha, yeah.
Because it was like a fully immersive, like you were at a wedding,
essentially. Gotcha.
It was a lot of fun.
All right.
Yes, I actually had a dance to Single Ladies, too.
I need to see that as well.
Yeah, I need to remember the dance. It's been a few years.
It is time to take some audio off the wall and listen to it. It's the Wall of Sound.
The Wall of Sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
These hips don't lie, Hayes. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, apparently. All right, I forgot to call for this earlier when we were talking about the Panthers, but I couldn't let this go unnoticed or missed. We got kind of a new reconfigured Panthers broadcast booth.
Mm-hmm.
Gone is Mick Mixon and his descriptive ways that gave us many great audio cuts. We now got our friend Anish Shroff in there. And Jake DeLome, who's been in the analyst seat for a little bit, is also joined by Luke Kuechly. And I don't even think this is a misspeak. I think this is the right term for it. It was still just funny when I heard it. Myles Garrett had beaten Ike Ekwonu like twice, one of them badly. And here's how Jake DeLome described Myles Garrett during the broadcast this past week.
You know, we haven't stopped him, and our defense is really doing a great job. Myles Garrett is starting to get extremely lubed up.
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
But again, that kind of described it well.
Yeah, it's the engine that rolls, man.
And he was just, you know, gliding by Ike Ekwonu right there. No friction there. There he goes. Also, Serena Williams. Anytime we got a goat talking about a goat, you want to hear what they had to say. Serena Williams talked about unretiring, the possibility of doing it, in the Tom Brady manner.
I mean, you never know. I always say, I just been saying that, you know, I think Tom Brady started a really cool trend.
Okay. Retire, retire, and retire again.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and the way he did it, like a few weeks, you know, so.
That was on Good Morning America. Here's my thing with Serena, and I don't think we talk about this enough. We need to go back and explore her career because I remember screaming this at the time. So she came on the scene and won her first title at like late teens or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then there were periods where she didn't play every Grand Slam and definitely wasn't playing as many events in between as the other competitors, the other female athletes. And this is before she was the greatest of all time. I mean, before she had achieved the resume of greatest of all time. She was obviously great at the time, and she was winning championships, but she wasn't playing as much. And people were saying she didn't take the sport seriously. She and Venus were starting businesses, and they were like, whoa, you can't. You're 21. You got to go after the Grand Slam every year, hard at it, every year you can, because you might be out of the sport at 25, right? And they kind of said, you know what? We're going to do our own thing. And what was crazy to me was, at the time, they were criticizing the Williams sisters for not being focused enough on tennis. They weren't going to be able to maximize their titles and the window that you had to play tennis. There were like all these other girls, and I'm not the tennis historian, so I'll get the era or whatever wrong, so don't penalize me if you're like, oh, that girl didn't play then or whatever. But like you had the Kim Clijsters and the Martina Hingises who all, and I mean even the Jennifer Capriati's, who all seemed to like come on the scene hard at 16 and 17, like the Williams sisters, and then they were gone by like their early 20s, right? And so like, hey, maybe the best way to win the most Grand Slams isn't see how many you can jam in between the age of 19 and 24, where presumably you're in your best shape. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best way to do it is to pull back sometimes.
Yeah.
When you're hurt or when you're mentally not feeling great. Look at Naomi Osaka right now, right?
Yeah.
Like pulling back rather than like if you push through when you're hurt and you hate the sport and it's not fun, you're going to get to the end of a year where you push too hard and you're like, this is no fun, I'm done. Instead, the Williams sisters always seem to take the tennis is great and like obviously it's our number one ability to make money and build our brand, mm-hmm. but then let's use that brand to do things we like, you know, literally the things they like that fulfill them in life, but also other business ventures or things that they may not have the opportunity to do if they weren't famous tennis players, right? So I've always applauded them and think there was a huge hypocrisy in people who said that they weren't passionate enough about tennis because they didn't play every single tournament at the age of 21. And she proved them right by being like, yo, I could still win Grand Slams in my late 30s if yeah. I love the game and I don't burn myself out on it. So to that same end, it's not like a team sport where you got to show up at the time the rest of the team is or it starts to be weird, right? Mm-hmm. I'm fine with Serena, much like we would let Tiger Woods. Like, Tom Brady is not the comparison to me. It's like Tiger Woods. It's an individual sport. At any given time, if you're feeling up to yourself, even if it's 2 years from now or 3 years from now, if all of a sudden you're playing with some friends in the summer and then you're like, you know what? I'm feeling a little bit better than I was last summer. Give me a secret workout with one of the best 25 players in the world. Let's hit, and then you're like, you know what? Go play the U.S. Open. Like, I hate that it has to be this big hang up on retired or unretired. Mm-hmm. Like, she's always going to be playing tennis, whether she's training her daughters or whatever. And if she's feeling frisky enough to be in the draw, I feel like she's going to have that same Tiger mentality of like, even if she knows she's not the number one seed, she's not going to go out there when she's just going to embarrass herself, right? But if she's at a point like, you know what? I've been the healthiest I've been for 6 months. I'm hitting the ball a little bit harder. My serves are going in at a percentage I haven't seen in a while. Yeah, I'm going to go play a Grand Slam. That is how Serena Williams, I think, should be handling. Again, I feel like she should be on the Tiger Woods plan of, and anytime you show up, the ratings are going up, the ticket sales are going up, and we're all excited. And if you, you know, but it's like if Tiger's leading after one day or if Serena goes, a match or two deep, we're all in.
So case in the point, the U.S. Open just
that's,
now.
That's what I want to see from Serena. I don't need it defined on retired or unretired, and I got no problem with her if she plays another U.S. Open, you know, 5 years from now. She can do whatever she wants. She's earned it, and again, she's good enough. And finally, on the Wall of Sound, look, sometimes coaches, we had Brian Kelly last week admonishing people for being late to the meeting, although even then I think he was being playful, right? Sometimes coaches are short, but I got to say, you got to at least know who won the game. If you're asking questions, reporter, you got to know who won the game. There was a reporter asking the Akron coach about his upcoming opponent and didn't quite have it right.
What are you expecting from Tennessee this week, given the way that they lost?
Tennessee, they ended up beating Pitt in overtime.
Did they?
Yeah, they beat Pitt in overtime.
Oh,
yeah, it ended up going to overtime. They won. Yeah, so they won 34-27 in overtime.
That also has that empty feeling of like a press conference. Like every press conference looks the same if you don't see the media there. Mm-hmm. But like that Akron one has the feel of like, was there another reporter there? Or was it just that one guy?
Yeah.
Was it like one guy and one guy from your school maybe? But now you got to, and also you got to be smart enough when the guy says, no, Tennessee won the game. You got to be like, oh, my bad. I said it wrong, but
misspoke,
I knew.
My
but
bad.
You can't do the, did they? Oh, I just watched the first quarter and assumed I knew the end result. Pittsburgh should have won that game, by the way.
There's that.
But yes, reporters, you got to be a little bit better than that dude. That is the Wall of Sound.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuyter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuyter.
A little bit later, as you know, if you've listened to the show before when I've filled in, Hayes Permar filling in. I try and run the show as it stands and do what the producer tells me to do, but they allow me to bring my check-on bag, my carry-on bag, and in that bag I carry with me Rightly Rated for my Sports Channel 8 days, and we have a jam-packed Rightly Rated, so stick around a little bit later. Lot of items on the menu for Rightly Rated, many of which are going to be interesting. And in fact, if you mix them all, it might be one of the most fun nights you've ever had. We got Sundrop on there. I don't want to give too much away. But right now, joining us is our good friend from the North Carolina rabbit hole. And we need to come up with like a nickname for him. I don't know if he's like West Durham is the mayor of the ACC. I don't know if Jeremy Markovic, like the North Carolina Whisperer. I'm not sure. I mean, rabbit hole is like the name of your thing. I'm not trying to take away from that. But we need a name for you, Jeremy. We need like an unofficial role that you carry now as this storyteller of North Carolina. I'll try and think of some. Follow him on Twitter at Deathly Inane. For the first 3 years I followed him, I thought it was Deathly In Lane, but then I figured out it was something else. And we're here to talk about North Wilkesboro, the Speedway, and Boone, North Carolina, two of the coolest, most exciting things happening in sports and in North Carolina right now. But first of all, Jeremy, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. I hope you are.
And should I ask where you are? Like, are you at a state park or something? Like, you look like you could be on a trail in one of, like, the North Carolina Mountains to Sea Trail or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would think I'm like in a state park or whatever, but I am in the forest at Wake Forest. So that is where I'm coming to you from today.
Well, technically, that wouldn't be Wake Forest, though, because we've got that here just north of Raleigh. So that is some other forest in Winston-Salem, have you?
The Wake-ish forest. Okay. How about that?
the Wake-ish forest. I heard somebody in Wake Forest saying they were worried about new development. And they were worried it's going to turn into Wake pavement and not be Wake Forest anymore. I thought that was kind of a clever line. But regardless, you were on the scene as the North Wilkesboro Speedway opened back up. I know it was a couple weeks ago now, but just talk about how cool it was to be there when racing was back.
I mean, so the crazy thing about this track is that like we all know of it as being like a dead track, right? Like it's like we were all familiar with this like being an abandoned place. at least a lot of us are, at least in recent memory. Because, you know, before, you know, recently, nothing really had been happening there. Like, race, like, NASCAR had not been there in 26 years. And so like, I'd been out there a couple times. Like, you look, it's like, it's quiet. Like, you can hear the wind. Like, everything looks like it was just abandoned and everybody picked up and just left it one day. And to see it come back to life, to see, like, cars, like, whipping around that thing at 100 mile an hour, to see it full of people with
might be losing Jeremy there for a second.
Happened. It was really, really amazing to see just to see it alive, because it was dead. So, like, to see the track alive was an incredible thing.
And who do you give the most credit for the track being back? I know once there is success, a lot of people want to take a lot of credit. Even, you know, politicians like to get in there and talk about things that they did in the budget. And a lot of people have been involved. Obviously, Dale Earnhardt being involved, he seems not to be rushing to take credit. Who do you give the most credit to for actually bringing racing back to North Wilkesboro?
I mean, like literally... years ago when I was out there and people were talking like, boy, it'd be nice to have racing here again. I'm like, yeah, but that's like a moonshot. Like, you'd need like four or five different things to break the exact right way. And it turns out they all did. Like, they all kind of did. I mean, like, you can give Dale Jr. a lot of credit because he was the one that went out there. And I think I've seen one of the NASCAR, the Twitter accounts, NASCAR chasm. NASCAR. NASCAR. Sarcasm.
It works better reading it than saying it out loud. I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, when you read it, you know what it is. But, you know, they made this thing where they had this picture of Dale Jr. with the weed whacker out there when they was, like, trying to cut the weeds down so they could scan the track for iRacing. It's like, that's not a weed whacker. That's a magic wand. So, like, he kind of really got it actually going, but you have to really give a lot of credit to Marcus Smith. I mean, you know, this doesn't happen without him. This doesn't happen without his passion for this kind of project, because everybody else had looked at this thing and said, like, yeah, sure, you own the track. Speedway Sports Motorsports owns the track. But, like, what are you going to do with it? Like, really, like, what, like, people looked at it and say, like, yeah, you can't do anything with that. So, like, he deserves a lot of credit. And then there's a lot of people in Wilkes County. And I want to say Terry Parsons is a name that comes up over and over again. She is the widow of Benny Parsons, who was just this beloved NASCAR driver for a long time. And you know, she lives in Wilkes County. She knows everybody in Wilkes County. She, for years, even when this was not even an inkling of happening, took the effort to make, you know, to call Speedway Motorsports. Can we get in there? Can we shoot a commercial there? Can we let somebody in to shoot something there? Can we do all this stuff? She is really well connected. She knows everybody in town. She was the one that, when there was an opening to get this track back and have racing there once again, she was the one that, like, it's like, okay, let me get all of my friends and we're going to charge through that hole. We're going to make this thing happen. So you really can't overlook really just the passion for this track, not only at, like, you know, the NASCAR Dale Jr., you know, level, but also, like, the folks in Wilkes County. They really wanted it to happen. And when, like, their time to shine came up, they really did it.
Jeremy Markovich joined us. We're talking about the North Wilkesboro Speedway. And then last week, the big announcement, Dale Jr. showed up in Raleigh with the governor to make an announcement about the NASCAR All-Star Race being there next year. Now, obviously, that event is going to be successful. I mean, however you define success, there might be long lines getting in there, but, like, there's going to be people there. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be cool. My question, and I hate to be – this will sound a little bit of a pessimist. I don't want to be this way. But, like, we always talk about – oh, that cool restaurant that's closing and everybody goes there for the last night before it closes, right? Or whatever it is. Is there any chance that there's magic about the Speedway because it's been closed? Like, 5 years from now, does it run the risk of, you know, just being a minor league track that doesn't support itself, and that the coolness of it was the fact that it had this mystery of being a closed track?
I mean, that is a great question. That is a question that I asked Terry Parsons when I talked to her about this, because I was like, yeah, this is what happens. Like, oh, I want to go see this thing. I haven't been able to see a race there. And then at some point, like, this is going to turn back into a racetrack. Like, this is going to be, it's going to go from being this amazing kind of experience to, like, well, okay, I want to go there and see a race. And so I think the folks in Wilkes County know, and I think even Speedway Motorsports know, that, like, they can't just make this into a racetrack, because that won't work. I mean, like, short track racing is still around. It is still a viable thing, but it's a really hard business. It's getting even harder. So you're watching a lot of short tracks have a really hard time. And North Wilkesboro is a short track. It's got a lot of history, but that's what it is. So I think, you know, they know two things. One of the things that they know is that you have to use it for events, for concerts, for other things. The other thing is you really have to focus on the fan experience, because if you don't have a good time at the track, if things aren't running well, if it's not a thing that you actually enjoy, if you're just doing it because you feel like it's a bucket list thing, then you probably, you might not come back. And when I went to Rockingham in 2012, this is kind of what happened. And Rockingham would have been closed for a long time. Yep. It reopened for a truck series race, and it was a huge success. The next year, the crowd was very, very small compared to what it had been, and the trucks left. So they're very much aware of that. I think the one advantage they have is they have Speedway Motorsports and a large company behind them. So, you know, it's not like they're doing this on a shoestring budget. They're going to be able to put some resources and really work on the things that need to be done there.
Well, I look forward to the North Carolina Rabbit Hole Music Festival with Chatham County Line, American Aquarium, Craven Mellon. I don't know. Who else? Who can we get from Charlotte? I don't know. Yes, I look forward to that event there. It's been cool, your connection with it. All right, another cool sporting event happening this weekend is a football game in Boone, but more exciting than that is who's coming to town to watch it, and that is College Game Day. I know that the Rabbit Holes come out on Thursday, but I saw you putting out a call for the Boone guide. What are like the top three or five things that most people respond to of like, if you're in Boone, you've got to blank?
Well, you know, there's a couple things. That's the one thing. Like, I was kind of joking. They kind of fall into three categories here. Like, all the responses I've gotten so far, they've been like, I earnestly want you to go to this place because it's really good.
Okay.
Like, Stick Boy. Like, you got to go to Stick Boy. Oh, you got to go up to Howard's Knob. You got to do all these things. So, like a genuine thing. Like, if you go to Boone, you would actually enjoy this food or this view.
Okay.
The second category is very much like, I went to App like 25 years ago and I got into some stuff, and I don't know if it was quite legal, but maybe, is this place even still around? Like, you know, like is this venue, is it still even there? I haven't been back in forever. I wish I could go. So that's number two. And then the third category is like acts of God causing property damage. So multiple people have been like, you know, you really haven't had the full Boone experience until your car has been flooded out at the Boone Mall.
Yes.
So I am looking for all of this. I'm looking for like, yes, please tell me where to eat, where to go. We want to share all that, but also like weird Boonisms. Like there's like the Gregory brothers, like, you know, the ones that remix the TikTok video where the kid is talking about corn.
Right.
Is this enough of an earworm that everybody knows this now?
Enough people. If you're missing out on it, we're moving past you, so don't worry.
Yeah. Anyways, they remix all these songs. The Gregory brothers, who like are insanely popular on YouTube, like they're from Boone. They have a weird like Gregory brothers song about Jimmy Smith Park. That is part of the Boone culture that everybody should know about. So I'm just trying to gather culture and you know, a lot of stuff that really matters about Boone and a lot of stuff that does not matter at all about Boone, but we're just going to have a fun time with it anyway.
Excellent. All right, personal question for you, Jeremy. You are originally from Ohio, and you've become this North Carolina storyteller. Do you think if your career and life had worked out and fate had kept you in Ohio, that you would have taken on this same role? Or is it like partly because you come with an outsider's background? I know you've been in North Carolina for a long time now. Is that more like, well, I'm in a new place, so I want to get to know the things around me, as opposed to like taking things for granted that you're a native? Like, do you think you'd have this same role in Ohio as a storyteller of people and places and sometimes weird off the beaten path stuff in your own state?
I mean, I can think of two responses to that. One, sure. Like, I'm just a very curious person. I'm interested in stuff and this is what happened. This is kind of the reason why I started this newsletter, is just because I'm like, oh, I'm really curious about this thing, and unless I write about it and get to the answer, it's just gonna clutter up my head, and it'll be like one of many things I'm like thinking about.
Sure.
So at least this helps me get things off my plate. I'm sure I'd be doing that no matter where I was.
Right.
But the thing that's really special about North Carolina, and like I was lucky enough before I really started this newsletter, I worked for Our State Magazine. Yep. For 6.5 years. I've been writing for them for more than a decade, and I've gotten the opportunity to travel. They gave me the opportunity to travel all over, from literally from Murphy to Manio several times. And like North Carolina has mountains. It has the coast. It's got the Piedmont. It's got large cities. It's got Charlotte and Raleigh. It's got tiny little towns. It's got like a history that is both good and bad. There's been struggle, but there's a lot. There's a reason why people are moving here. Like, it is such a fascinating place that is growing and interesting and right on the middle of a lot of different things. And as much as I love Ohio, Ohio is pretty flat, right? Like, there's a lot. They have a Great Lake. Give them that. You know, but like the diversity of literally everything in North Carolina makes it such a fascinating place. And I don't know if you could do some of this stuff in any other state in the union. I really don't. I really think, you know, it's got its problems. We all know that. It's got its struggles, but like, this is a wonderful place to be. And I'm just lucky to be here and I'm lucky to write about it. And I'm lucky that literally there's like no bottom to that well. That once I feel like I've gotten to the bottom of one thing, like somebody else is like, well, here's some weird stuff. Let's check this out. I'm like, yeah, dude, let's do it.
Check it out, the North Carolina rabbit hole. You can find out why there's random tanks on the Neuse River near Morehead City and all kinds of things. And this week he'll tell you the best place to check out in Boone. All right, you said you've been traveling the state. You get paid to do so. You also do it for pleasure. The question, like any good reality show, have you been paying attention when you travel to these places? We're going to put you on the spot right now. With name the county seat. I'll give you the county. You give me the county seat. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. This is also where I'm basically going to show my butt on this, I think, probably.
We're going to help you look good. All right. First up, okay. Since we were talking about Watauga County, where game day will be, do you know what the county seat of Watauga is?
It is Boone.
He's one for one. See, I wouldn't hang you out to dry like that, Markovich. We also talked about Wilkes County in this interview. What's the county seat of Wilkes County?
That would be Wilkesboro.
Wilkesboro or North Wilkesboro?
I believe it is Wilkesboro.
You are correct. Don't let me push you off your game. All right, let's get a little bit harder. Beaufort County. Do you know the county seat of Beaufort County, North Carolina?
That is Washington.
That is good. He didn't fall for the trick. It's not Beaufort.
It's not Beaufort.
It's one of those classics sitting out in the county. He's 3 for 3, so he's going to be a winner either way. Let's have some fun. Duplin County.
Is that Kenansville?
It is Kenansville indeed. And then my personal favorite, the best county seat of all, the smallest county in North Carolina. For bonus points, do you know what the smallest county is?
I do. It is Terrell County.
Oh, well, then that's not what my information said. Well, forget that. What's the county seat of?
Wait a minute. By land area?
Oh, maybe.
Or by people?
I'm not sure. Okay. The Wikipedia
Come on.
Said. Let's see.
The judges.
Forget it. Let's Clay County. What's the county seat of Clay County?
Clay County is, I believe, Brasstown.
No, it's not Brasstown. I'll give you a hint.
Well, Brasstown's where they used to lower the possum.
Oh, see, I was going to say if you can't name the county seat, tell us something about the county.
It is the spiritual center of Clay County, I believe. But that is okay.
You went 4 for 5. You're a winner. The county seat, according to Wikipedia, which may or may not be correct, is Hayesville. Population 311.
Ah!
Hayesville. Is the best county seat in all of North Carolina, of course. You went 4 for 5. You're a winner. We put you on the spot. I knew you'd do fine. Go ahead.
Terrell County is the smallest county by population in North Carolina, and I believe there may be more bears living there than people.
All right. I misread here. This one's the third smallest by land area. Oh, smallest by total area. What's the difference? It says Clay County is the third smallest county in North Carolina by land area and the smallest by total area. How could that be?
Well, then you have like people, you know, the water, like the sound. So I guess that would count. Yeah.
Anyway, well, that's me going to Wikipedia and Jeremy Markovich for my North Carolina information. You're my two most trusted sources. So if you guys are in conflict, I'll let you settle it. Appreciate the time as always. Keep up the great work. Check out the North Carolina rabbit hole. You can subscribe, get new news right to your door. This week it'll be about Boone, North Carolina. Appreciate the time, dude.
Thanks for having me.
Follow him on Twitter at Deftly Inane. He is North Carolina's whisperer. We can come up with a better name than that for Jeremy Markovich.
I'm an adventurous person, but I'm also a careful person. We want to get out there, but we also want to make sure we're safe and our loved ones are safe. Good thing there's the OnStar Guardian app. Safety services right on our phone. We can get roadside assistance. We can share locations with friends and family. We can even get help in a crash in any vehicle on any motorcycle. Finally, something both sides of me can agree on. Adventure safely with the OnStar Guardian app. Download today from the App Store or on Google Play. Be safe out there.
I don't like or promote cheating. However, as an observer of sports, I know that, you know, the larger the money, the fame, the prestige gets, the likelihood of humans being tempted into cheating is a thing. I recognize this fact. And I am intrigued, fascinated, entertained by attempts to cheat in a way that I'd say, well, yes, ultimately, I don't like that people's jobs are, you know, hurt by this. I don't like the bikers that got left out of the Tour de France because all the bikers that were doping got the spots, right? Like, I don't like that part of it. But absolutely, I'm intrigued by the methods people go to try and get around the rules. Whether it's like the Russian games where the Russians who literally built the testing sites had special bathrooms for the Russians to go in with secret doors in the back where they like exchanged urine so you could have better samples. Like, again, they should be caught. They should be punished. All those things. But I am fascinated at how they tried to pull these things off. Same with the Houston Astros. If you're caught, you should be punished to the full extent, right? Integrity of the game, all that stuff. But I still... And you should be made fun of. You should be booed and mocked, and signs should be, you know, made fun of if you get caught as a cheater. All those things I want. But I as an observer, I'm entertained, and I think it's kind of cool when some people are like, you know what? We think it's worth it. We're going outside the rules, and we're going to try and do something. So I can only fairly call myself highly entertained when I learned that the chess world may or may not be getting rocked by a cheating scandal. First of all, apparently, now I'm not an expert, so chess experts are going to be listening and be like, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. You're right. I'm only reading up on it. But more and more, chess is having to deal with basically the threat of one person standing there, moving the pieces, or sitting there, getting help from somewhere outside. Yeah. And presumably outside, people could be sitting there with pictures of your board and running computer logs and everything else.
What's the highest probability?
And then give you the best move, you know, based on what the other person's doing. And it's really not you one versus another. It's you and the manpower of the internet and other people all working against this chess master. So we came upon the curious case of a chess master, Magnus Carlsen, withdrew from a major tournament with $350,000 in prize money. I imagine that's pretty high in the chess world. After he lost to underdog Hans Niemann. Now, obviously, all the people at the tournament were high-rated chess players, but Niemann was like the lowest-rated chess player at this tournament and the least likely person to upset Magnus Carlsen. Mm-hmm. Carlsen left the tournament. Like, you know, you're not out just because you lost. You still play and you figure out where you finish up. But he bounced and he tweeted, I've withdrawn from the tournament. I always enjoy playing in the name of the tournament and hope to be back in the future. And then there was a video in the tweet that said, if I speak, I'm going to be in big trouble. Many people started saying that possibly this guy, Niemann, had cheated. All right? So they're saying Hans Niemann cheated. But it really gets interesting when they talk about how he cheated. Have you ever seen the movie Casino, Dennis Cox?
I know of it.
Okay, there's a famous scene where guys get caught cheating, and Robert De Niro has his guys bang on the dude's hand with a hammer, and he tells the other guy, get out of here, and he says, you know, throws him out in the alley, whatever, never come back here.
Like the movie 21.
Yes, here's the difference. In the one where in Casino, they're cheating by one guy sitting where he can see the dealer's card, and he's using a little radio transmitter, Morse code, tapping on his leg, deet, 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 to his buddy, and they show it in the movie. They've both got something up their leg, let's say in the upper thigh area.
Okay.
Right?
All right.
And they show you, they have a picture of it. They both got something strapped to the leg. One guy's kind of tapping his leg. The other guy's feeling the vibrations over on his. So this chess cheating setup was similar to the setup I described in Casino, where one guy had a device that's sending vibrations to his inner thigh. Only, how do we best say this at 3 o'clock on FM radio in Raleigh, North Carolina?
Yeah.
The guy cheating is being accused of having the radio transmission receiver hidden in a place that would, let's say, I don't know, be the least likely place to be checked or spotted on a person's body?
Ah, yes.
Do we need to go deeper? Not in between his toes, not in his ear, not up his nose, not in his mouth. Do I need to eliminate more? He is being accused.
So on the backside.
Of having something, yes, on the backside, not where a catheter goes. I'm trying to think what else we could do. Okay. Yes, having something concealed in a part of his body that helps conceal things and getting radio transmissions in there from an outside source that helped him beat the champion.
Okay.
Again, I don't condone cheating, but I am fascinated by this story about the possibility of what's going on in the test world. There's even accusations being thrown around that the guy who walked away himself may have been guilty of the same kind of cheating.
Well, there's more than one?
Only he can't out the other guy because then he'd be outing himself. It's kind of like, you know, when you if you're playing golf with somebody and they hit into the woods and you find it first and you pick up their ball and you throw it somewhere where they know they can't find it and you're like, I got them now. They're going to have a penalty. They're never going to find their ball. And then later they say, oh, I found my ball, and it's got the markings of their ball. Well, you threw their ball away, so you know they didn't find their ball, right? So you know they're cheating, but you can't accuse them of cheating because you cheated and threw their ball away, right? So everybody's just got to let it lie. So some people are saying that that's what's going on here. So chess.
Okay.
I just got to know. I wish I had a witty pun.
They're not going to rook us.
Or a fun take on this. You know, there's the park it where the sun don't shine. Uh-huh. These, you know, I hope someone could shine a light on this issue or whatever it might be, but it
maybe
is.
Maybe we should pawn our research off on someone else.
Yes, yes. Well, those puns would be welcome. There's some other, you know, type puns that I feel like we shouldn't be playing in. But
you'd say the sun don't shine where this thing was hidden.
Yes,
it's always nice.
Absolutely. So anyway, I was fascinated by this story and I want it to be true so badly because it just proves some people will do anything to win.
Just the fact that you would actually think of that. To do that. I mean, if this is a real thing.
Yeah. Well, and then,
So
it's leading to a bigger issue. Now they're saying more and more there'll be smart fabrics. Basically, you could have a shirt on with a patch somewhere that, like, nobody would know, wouldn't stand out, but would send just enough little vibration. So
vibranium sewn into their threads?
I mean, we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're catching up to that Wakandan technology. But yeah. So, cheating in chess. It's getting dirty, all right? That's all I'm going to say. It's getting real dirty.
Quite muddy.
Let's take this thing down with Rightly Rated. I forgot. Do we have music for Rightly Rated?
Oh, do we?
I think we've been overrated.
There we go.
I think they've been underrated.
Do we?
First up in Rightly Rated, boxed wine. Is boxed wine overrated, underrated, or Rightly Rated? I'll save you the answer. It's underrated. It's still the best.
Okay.
This comes up because longtime California vintner Fred Franzia, the co-founder of Bronco Wine, best known for his Charles Shaw brand, a.k.a. Two Buck Chuck, passed away at the age 79. Now, I'm a little disappointed. They talk about his Two Buck Chuck. You know, you can get it at Trader Joe's, basically $2 wine. You can get five bottles for 10 bucks or whatever. In this tribute to him, and they talk about, you know, his brushes with the other wine greats and how he hated the, like, highfalutin wine society, so he always tried to make cheap wine. Not nearly enough being made out of what he did for box wine, baby. Franzia was the box wine industry, and I needed them to discuss that more. But RIP Franzia, apparently it's now owned by Coca-Cola, so it's less cool anyway. But I didn't know it was named after a person. But yes, Fred Franzia, no longer with us. Box wine, underrated. I'll accept no other answers.
All right.
All right, next up, Sundrop. Is Sundrop overrated, underrated, or properly rightly rated? We talked to Jeremy Markovich about Dale Earnhardt driving at North Wilkesboro. He drove a Sundrop car, and we know Roy Cooper has been hanging out with Dale Jr. to get this thing done. Here is the governor discussing his love of diet drinks, including Diet Sundrop.
I'm like a diet soda sommelier. So the Mountain Dew is sweeter than Diet Sundrop. Diet Sundrop has a little bit more of a tart taste. Christy.
So that's Roy Cooper, diet soda sommelier.
Yes.
Now, I'm not a diet soda sommelier, but I am a soda sommelier. And I agree, his review is spot on with regular, too. Like, Mountain Dew is a little bit sweeter. Sundrop has that. I don't know how to describe to people. It's like, it's in the Mountain Dew family, but it's like a little bit different.
They said it's a little bit more tart.
Mellow Yellow, Mountain Dew, Sundrop all have distinctive flavors. Same family, though. Sundrop, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Underrated. I don't really drink it often.
It's probably still underrated. Yeah. I like it. It's great in the summer. It's good with some vodka and some other mixes. It's good. Well, glad the governor likes it. And it looks cool when Dale Earnhardt's driving the car. Next up. Wendy's. Is Wendy's overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? That comes up because Wendy's may have had the best college football commercial of the weekend. Here's what it sounded like.
Reggie Bush had something important taken from him, so Wendy's is returning it.
It gives me great honor to return this to Mr. Reggie Bush.
The pretzel pub! Woo! Let's go! Back with its rightful owner.
Come on.
That's right. Don't touch my burger. Yes, sir. Y'all can't take this one away from me.
We haven't told him it's back for a limited time.
Great commercial by Wendy's. First of all, they mock the fact that Reggie Bush got his Heisman taken from him, which now in today's world of NIL, like, all that stuff seems silly, right? Any people who took stuff, it's like, really? We're really punishing it? Everyone knows he was the best player in college football that year. Everybody knows when the Heisman, we really took it away from him. So they poke fun at that, and then they have him saying, oh, they can never take it from me, even though it's like for a limited time. So they are going to take it from him again. Yeah. What even was the sandwich there? The pretzel pub burger.
Yes.
But now, well done. College football's got a lot of good commercials. Of all the sports, it might have the best total commercial. I like the diet, the Dr. Pepper,
the Dr. Pepper one
town or whatever. That's all good. All right, Wendy's, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
I'm going to go underrated on Wendy's.
It might have moved to a little bit overrated. It used to be really good. I used to get a junior bacon cheese, fry for 99 cents. Frosty was a good dessert. Frosties. I'm not sure it's still the same. We've had some fun today. Enjoy some Franzia, some Sundrop, some Wendy's, and whatever that chess guy was doing.
This is the Adam Gold Show.